Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Feast of Tabernacles and its meaning for Christians. We've been talking about the seven clues that God gives us to unlock the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles for Christians. The first clue is that it occurred on the 15th day of the month. The second clue is that it occurred in the seventh month. The third clue is that it lasts for 7 days. And now today we're going to be talking about the fourth clue, which is the fact that it's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or alternately, it's been called the Feast of Booths. A booth is something that's a temporary dwelling. A tabernacle is something that's a temporary dwelling. So it's also been called the Feast of Temporary Dwellings. So what is God trying to teach us by calling this feast the Feast of Tabernacles? What are we as Christians supposed to learn? One of the main lessons God wants us to learn in observing the Feast of Tabernacles is that we are indeed, as human beings, temporary beings. This tabernacle that we have, this body that we have, it is only temporary. We are seeking eternal life, to have a spirit-composed, eternal body that cannot die. That's what we should be looking forward to. Also, secondarily, the Feast of Tabernacles is supposed to teach us that this world, this place that we live in, is only a temporary world. This world will not last forever. The world tomorrow, the world that God Himself is going to build, that's the world that's going to last forever, because that's the world wherein there will be eternal life, where there will be love, where there will be no more sin, no more Satan, no more of this world society, no more selfishness. There will only be godliness, and God is love. There will be perfection. There will be beauty abounding everywhere. There will be unity. It will be utopia, but only God can build that type of tabernacle. So now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, because as you know, this is the chapter that's called the faith chapter. This chronicles a lot of the people of faith, and what we're going to focus on today is on Abraham. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. He was a, quote, Christian, unquote, if you will, a believer in Jesus the Christ. He looked forward to the Messiah coming in his first coming, just like we can look back on the Messiah first coming, but he looked forward to the first coming, and frankly, he looked forward to the second coming, just like we are looking forward to the second coming. So here's a person who was a believer in God and walked by faith before there was any nation of Israel, before the old covenant was made. And this is important to understand, because he understood the principle about the Feast of Tabernacles. So if Abraham, who is the father of the faithful, that means that all Christians can claim him as our spiritual father, if he observed the Feast of Tabernacles and understood the principles of the Feast of Tabernacles, then certainly we should also be observing the Feast of Tabernacles and understanding the rich and deep meaning that God is trying to impart to us as we keep one of His appointments. So let's read in Hebrews the 11th chapter, because we're going to see how Abraham dwelt in a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling, but understood that it was important for him to be searching for, to be pointing his life toward, the permanent tabernacle. Now we're going to start in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you have faith, then that faith makes something that is not seen as though it was seen. It makes things that are hoped for as though you already had them. It is the substance. It's the real thing, in effect. Faith is a substance of the things hoped for. Faith is something that's very real. It's very solid in that sense of the word. It propels us. It motivates us. It anchors us. It gives us strength. It gives us our being and our life. That's why God says in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 that it is impossible without faith to please Him, because we that come to God must believe that God is, and not only that God is, but that also He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, how is God going to reward us? The answer is God's going to give us a permanent dwelling place, not a temporary tabernacle, but a permanent dwelling place. Notice this in verses 9 through 10 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is verses 9 through 10 now. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. And how did he do that? Dwelling in tabernacles. He dwelt there with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, the inheritors with him of the same promise, that promise being that they would receive the land of Israel to be their dwelling place. It says, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, what God is doing here is he's saying, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, which was Canaan. Later, it came to be known as Israel. But he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, God brought them into the land of promise, but that was a physical promise, a place where they dwelt temporarily until they died. And then, of course, the northern house of Israel, they were driven out of Israel. And then the southern house of Judah, they were driven out of Israel. And so really, that was never their permanent home. So Abraham, by faith, looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's faith made him look for this city, and he was assured that he was going to receive this city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These are sure foundations that can never be removed. He was looking for a permanent dwelling place, not the physical land of Israel, but the kingdom of God, dwelling with God eternally. That's what he was looking for, the Zion that's promised to come down from heaven, that new Jerusalem that's promised to come down from heaven to this earth, where he would be born again as a spirit-composed being. That's what Abraham was looking for. That's what Isaac and Jacob was looking for. That's what all of the people of faith were looking for, and all of the people alive today should be looking for, is to be dwelling in a permanent place, not in a temporary tabernacle, not in this physical body, not in this physical world, but in a spirit-composed, eternal body in the kingdom of God. That's what we should be looking forward to. Now notice this in verses 13 and 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 16. It says, these all died in faith. Now listen to this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So we know for sure that when it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, it's absolutely clear that it's not talking about the land of Israel. Because of course, Isaac and then Jacob and Jacob's descendants, they did inherit the promised land. So this has to be talking about a different promised land, a spiritual promised land, okay? So they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Their faith made them see these promises, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them. They embraced the promises as though it was real land, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do you hear that? They understood that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A pilgrim, I'm making a pilgrimage. It's a journey. I'm just passing on through. They were strangers. They knew that this was not their permanent home. They were just there for a while on this earth. And that's the way we should be viewing life as well. For they that say such things, those people that confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, for these people that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now, what kind of country is this? Let's go on. It says, and truly, if they have been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is what? What is this better country? This better country is a heavenly country. That's what they were looking forward to, a heavenly country, a permanent place. That's what they were looking forward to, eternal life in the kingdom of God. Therefore, God says, He is not ashamed to be called their God, and God has indeed prepared for them a city. So now the question is, when will they receive this promise of a better country, of a heavenly city that has been prepared for them? When will they receive it? Well, before we go, let me read one more scripture. This is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. This is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. It says that all these people of faith, they obtain a good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, so that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So that gives us a clue as to when God is going to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the other people of faith their promise. It's going to be at the same time that you and I, faithful Christians of today, it's going to be at the same time that we receive the promises. And that's what we're going to talk about in our next program. Exactly when will we receive these promises? Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.